He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday, March 8th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 23 years in the saddle, behind the trading desk, doing a radio show. Barry Kite, a lot of experience on board with us again today. Chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning. And, yeah, we're working on our geopolitical expertise.
We got a lot to talk about today, and it all begins with an E, energy. that's the key word today. That's the secret void. Okay, S&P opened up, not anymore, down 30 points as oil is soaring to 128.29. That is up almost $9 per barrel today. The Dow, which was up, now down 177. I think fear of a recession creeping in here. It's at 32,640. The NASDAQ has just turned south. Boy, that NASDAQ just given up the ghost. It has now broken 13,000. It's now down over 20%, which puts it in bear market territory. Down 144 to 12,689. We maintain our inverse positions on the NASDAQ. Russell 2000 is up. Hey, go figure. It's up 7 to 1958. The big one today, crude oil, up to $128.29 per barrel. And they couldn't give them away about a year ago. Gold up $48.50, Barry, $2,044 on the shiny metal.
Well above that 2,000 mark now.
Wow, and silver up $1.41 to 27.12. The 10-year moving up 11 basis points to 1.87. What a start to the market today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. And Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. And, you know, I wouldn't trade the experience I had in 2000 watching the dot-com implosion, Barry, and, of course, the 2008 financial crisis. That was good experience. And I think a lot of the younger money managers out there not having that experience have never seen anything like this before. This is pretty ugly. It's pretty ugly right now.
It's ugly if you're not in the right. It's certainly ugly if you're not in the right places. I tell you that much.
Last time I looked, we were way up today. I'm just going to refresh the screen here because we're long oil and short. Oh, we're way up. We're up 1% today. We are long oil and gas and energy, and we are short through inverse funds on the tech on the NASDAQ. Consider yesterday, the Dow was down almost 800 points. It broke its support level of 33,400. The S&P 500 yesterday was down 128 points to 4201. It broke its support level of 4300. And the NASDAQ plunged almost 500 points yesterday, closing below, the NASDAQ 13,000. It's headed towards 12,000 right now. For the first time in over a year, you're below 13,000 on the NASDAQ. It's now down more than 20%. And let's not forget that segments of the NASDAQ down even further than that. I want to say that ARK funds, as of yesterday, down 40% year-to-date. NASDAQ now down 20% from its all-time high set in November of last year. Gold is absolutely taking off and soaring. I told you a couple weeks ago that we've been adding exposure to gold. It tops $2,000 per ounce for the first time since July of 2020. And crude is soaring to 128 today, and we're going to, or 129 now, 128.35, I guess. We're going to hear from our president in about 30 minutes about we're not going to buy any more Russian oil. The question is, where are we going to turn to replace that Russian oil. Right now, the leading candidates seem to be Iran, number one, Venezuela, number two. We'll see where they go to replace that oil, or will they just let oil prices continue to rise? That seems to be what the market is saying, that we won't replace it, maybe. I don't know. So anyways, really bad day in the market yesterday. We ended up for the day. We just happened to be blessed here in the right places at the right time. We saw this NASDAQ shellacking, there's no better word for it, coming, and we just simply bought some inverse ETFs, PSQ, PSQ, and we also have an inverse ETFs on the S&P 500 and SH. And we also have DOG, D-O-G, and several other inverse ETFs. It's just as simple as that. I've been preaching about them and teaching about them for many moons. Nationwide, gasoline, $4.17 a gallon. It's approaching $6 in San Francisco. I saw a little clip there of somebody at a gas station in the Bay Area. White House set to ban U.S. imports of Russian oil, liquefied natural gas, and coal as soon as Tuesday. Barry, you know the stock we own, LNG, which is Cheniere Energy?
Mm-hmm.
They are sold out until 2040 on liquid natural gas.
Wow.
See, they only have so much capacity, okay?
Right, to turn it into liquefied natural gas.
Yeah, and to ship it and everything. Now, I remember many years ago, I had a friend who was high up at San Diego Gas and Electric, which is now Sempra Energy. For whatever reason, San Diego Gas and Electric saw a big future in natural gas, liquefied natural gas, LNG. And they became a big, big investor and, you know, a driver behind that Sabine Terminal, which I believe is in Houston, for transporting. Of course, they have to turn the gas into liquid first and then transport it. And the demand for liquefied natural gas, LNG, they're sold out to 2040. And John Kerry yesterday said that the future until we get to solar and wind is in natural gas. So you can imagine what that's doing. I haven't checked on LNG stock yet, but I think I will. LNG right now is, guys, down a little bit.
Down a tad. But, yeah, that in terms of the CEO, talking about, you know, new LNG capacity sold out through 2040s.
And
it's with an S on the end, which means not just 2040. It sounds like most of 2040. But
they need to increase capacity fast
that's the
now.
Next space. Yep, that's the next move, right?
Okay, and of course, this whole move away from Russia is a big problem for Germany. Of course, I don't think they're not going to say we don't want your natural gas there in Germany. They're dependent upon that. Remember, the Nord Stream 1 pipeline is in use. And the Kremlin is now playing around and threatening Germany to shut down their natural gas. And, you know, I remember this whole issue came up during the Trump administration, and he was worried that they would use that pipeline as leverage, Russia would, and he was mad that we were paying to defend Russia Germany from Russia through NATO contributions, and here they were buying gas and oil from Russia. Well, you know what? Germany's in a very tight spot right now. Do you know that if you took their natural gas prices versus ours, Barry, right now here in America, The oil equivalent is $300 per barrel. So, oil. Versus what we're paying for natural gas here in the U.S. So they're in a really tight spot. Their deputy prime minister of Russia said that Russia could cut gas supplies via Nord Stream 1 pipeline to Germany. Of course, they're threatening, you know, nuclear weapons, too, but it has not made such a decision yet. What would that do to the German economy? You got to wonder. And, of course, Germany still gets most of their energy from coal and the nuclear power plants, which they're in the process of shutting down. So we'll have to see which way Germany goes. Schlumberger. You know, I didn't take French. I took German.
Yeah, I let you touch those fancy
Schlumberger
names. I just follow your lead on those fancy names like those.
We're not talking Limburger here. Schlumberger and Halliburton post multi-year highs. That's what I was saying yesterday about the these are not drilling stocks. These are companies that are equipment, maintenance, oil services, and that sector has just boomed right now. The rigs with Baker Hughes, BKR,
the picks
booming,
and shovels approach.
Oh man, booming sector right now. Okay, I hear the music. We have got a lot of energy to talk about when we come back. What a pickle! This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We're invested in energy. That's a good deal. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I got to point out three charts here, Barry, that are just eye-popping as we open the market here. Number one, gold and silver. Oh, man, just taking off. Look at AEM, which is Agnico Eagle. That's one that people turn to when times for gold get good. AEM is just absolutely blasting off. We own several gold stocks ourselves at the current time. Look at silver. Look at AG. First Majestic Silver. And I got a hunch it doesn't matter which silver stock you look at or which gold stock you look at. They're all taking off. There's an ETF, AGQ, which is double silver. There you go, double silver. It's up 10.5% today. Let's just look at UGL while we're in there, because that's double gold. Wow, look at that, up 5.6% today. UGL, that's twice the daily performance of Bloomberg Gold Index. And the last one, I'll point out, the bond market, AGG, getting clobbered today. As interest rates go up 12 basis points, that's not good for bond funds. And we have two inverse positions against the bond market to hedge our bond portfolios. AGG, ugh, that's ugly. But even uglier yet, the big tech stocks, they look horrible. I got to say, I think that the market is starting. Look at Amazon. Breaking down again today, and that's just, you know, all of them. Facebook, doesn't matter, Netflix. The only one that's holding up even halfway decently is Apple, but even it's in a pretty bad downtrend. I got to say that you think the market's starting to look, I do. You don't have to agree with me, though, Barry, looking at the risk of a recession.
Well, you know, I think it's certainly more on the table than we would have, you know, even realized, you know, even a week or two ago, right? I mean, the chances, especially with energy, you know, how high do energy prices go? Certainly could lead in that direction. At least it could feel like a recession, right? Because it's, you know, it'll be interesting to see how these numbers. Especially these higher energy prices start hitting, you know, consumer spending. I mean, the one thing we can always have you know, been able to count on through, you know, even through COVID, right, and in all the darkness that put on the economy is, you know, we could count on the, you know, American consumer, right, spending. And, you know, with gas pushing, you know, $5 a gallon, I saw somewhere it was, you know, $7 a gallon in Los Angeles. It'll be interesting to see how much that can, that it can hold up. And you've got some rising interest rates, right? In terms of, you know, the Fed's going to be, announcing, you know, whatever they're doing next week. We've got the CPI number on Thursday. So it's certainly more and more on the table. You know, you want to see those percentages.
You know, and here's the scary part of this whole scenario. Here's your nightmare scenario that the market is at least considering here. What does the Fed normally do as we start to go into a recession to try to stave off a recession? They lower interest rates.
Right.
They put they in stimulus.
That. Well, that's why, you know, the biggest worry, I guess, is stagflation, right? And that's why I think you're seeing gold prices go up in those scenarios of stagflation, right? That's where, you know, really gold is kind of the different forces that drive gold, where gold actually does the best. And I mean, I'm looking across the entire energy sector today. It doesn't matter if it's oil and gas. You can, you know, pull up TAN today. You know,
the solar sector
6.5. Of course, you know, number one, you take energy off the table, right? You're going to have to find replacements. As oil prices go up, it makes solar and other alternative energy projects look better, right, from a finance or cost-benefit analysis. So, I mean, you've really got, everything, almost everything's on the table at this point, you know, whether it's solar, wind,
everything.
They're going to put me on a bike in here and we're going to, start powering, my next door neighbor's house. Who knows what's, hands on deck.
Yeah, I've never seen a better setup, I hate to say it, for stagflation than I am right now.
Yeah.
The last time, I remember when we started to go into a recession in the 90s the Fed had to move quickly. That was during the Gulf War. Interest rates were at 8% at that time, so they had a long ways to go in cutting interest rates.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And that staved off and helped get through that one. Now they're in a completely different situation, with inflation just roaring and the economy slowing down. I don't see how you avoid stagflation.
And you bring up a great question, because, I mean, you go back in history, all these times where we've had energy prices or oil prices hit these levels, I'm pretty sure, they've been followed by, followed by a recession. I think it was 2008, early 90s when you hit it in the Gulf War. I think that was Bush Sr. was in office there. And then, of course, go back to the 70s as well. But it's certainly a possibility.
Every recession
more and more
has had an oil spike in it somewhere. Well, okay, on that happy note, there's ways to play this, obviously. We've been saying that you have to think outside the box here. You can't just sit there in a passive portfolio with 70% in the bond funds and 30% in the stock market. These are really different. You know that when Elon Musk is calling for more drilling for oil, you know that these are extraordinary times. That's exactly what he was calling for yesterday. Here's a guy that makes electric cars, and he says, hey, extraordinary times need extraordinary measures. So you have Elon Musk calling for us to increase our oil production here in the U.S. Now, higher oil prices. We're getting one person come out. This is from Again Capital. Could cut U.S. GDP by 1 to 2 percentage points. That's a pretty big cut. And I looked at the yield curve this morning just to see where it's at. It continues to plunge. You only have a 20 basis point spread. You're seeing a big hike, a big rise right now in the short-term interest rate. The two-year was up to 1.1 or 1.2 yesterday. When you put that up against the 10-year, there's not much room in between there. Now, why in the short term, that's credit risk, right? When you see that short term rate start to go up, right, Barry?
Yeah, well, two forces. No, you've got that there. And number one, right, in terms of, certainly credit risk, short term lending facilities. And then also, of course, with the Fed, assuming, they're raising on that short end. And then, long term, right, that's showing that, they're expecting, got kind of the economy, kind of almost predicting a recession, right? And that's how you get that inverted yield curve, and is why regional banks are not doing well. So
we could see an inverted yield curve this week or next week. Now, well, on that happy note, Bank of America is bullish on energy ETFs. We'll talk about that when we come back. So are we. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Oil Stocks Now show. It just, look at that. Oil up. It was just up $10 per barrel. It's $129.17. Now, herein lies the question. I had somebody email me and say, Bill, where's the top in oil? Well, you know, there's some pretty fancy math that was done by Goldman Sachs today and J.P. Morgan yesterday. And here are their thoughts. Goldman lifts oil price forecast to $135 for 2022. But wait a minute. There's some upside to that. It's at 129 right now, Barry, so it's almost hit their target price here. It's up $10 per barrel here today. Their old forecast, Goldman Sachs, before this whole Russian invasion of Ukraine, was $98, okay? Now, Goldman goes on to say, given Russia's key role in global energy supply, the global economy could soon be faced with one of the largest energy supply shocks ever. Yeah, this is coming from Goldman Sachs. I remember, you know, the energy shock of 79, I want to say it was, 78, around in there. That was the Iran embargo, wherein we were standing, we were parked in a long line of cars on the even days and the odd days to get our ration. And they were limiting you to so many gallons and whatnot. Goldman's base forecast assumes blah, blah, blah. A lot of numbers there. But they're mostly taking the Russian oil, like two-thirds of the Russian oil seaborne exports, out of the mix. And under that scenario, okay, this is the scenario that's happening today. I don't know how many countries are going to take away their seaborne energy from Russia, but we obviously are. Then their Goldman's oil estimates go to 175 this year. 175 per barrel. And then you've got all of the self-sanctioning taking place. You know, Shell bought one of those seaborne ships, got into all kinds of trouble. Now they're apologizing for it and giving the profits to some charity or whatnot in Ukraine. Goldman's upside case and upside oil price target look remarkably similar to J.P. Morgan's call, which sees 185 Brent if Russian seaborne exports are sanctioned. So, you know, that would equate to about $175 oil here on the West Intermediate Texas. So there you go. Where's the top? Well, I'm just seeing this chorus get louder.
Go ahead. That plays into, you know, kind of, you know, your philosophy in terms of, investing primarily in the U.S. or at least in, U.S.-based companies at this point, because the fact that, you know, you have, you know, we're certainly in a better, you know, situation in terms of, West Texas crude, using that for gasoline and oil usages. The problem, I mean, when you have Brent at those prices, I mean, that's a huge drag on the European economy, which as a whole, right? The whole, Europe as a whole is the largest economic zone, in the world, as a whole. And so, when you're looking at, you're looking at those prices, and, also in a part of the world, right, that's been, kind of the laggard in terms of coming out of COVID, when you pair both of those together, it's certainly concerning for world GDP, at a minimum.
The Europe stock market looks absolutely horrible. EFA is one Europe ETF. VGK is another one. And of course, there are some inverse, like EFU. Man, that thing is just absolutely exploding to the upside.
And you've tracked those charts for, you know, you've tracked those charts for years in the newsletter and, you know, on the technical, in the technical section of the newsletter. And so, you know, kind of get the newsletter, take a look at those charts and that thing, those things are, you know, looking probably the worst they have in,
Well, and when I show these technical indicators, I'll do the Dow. Okay, here's what the Dow looks like. Then underneath it, I'll do what dog looks like, the inverse Dow. Right now you're seeing one breakdown and the other breakout. Well, you know, I get knocked for, you know, saying anything about Kathy Wood at all. But she's in the news again today. She's doubling down on her $12 oil prediction.
Okay.
Oil demand, this was back in July of last year. Oil demand has hit a secular peak thanks to the electric vehicles, now in a secular decline. I believe that oil prices are on their way back to $12. Well, now they're at $130. The level reached after the 1973 oil cartel. I guess that's when the oil cartel was. And she's not backing off of her call. She says that the rise in price of oil, she said, will accelerate. Well, she thinks that demand is going to be demand, and she says the electric cars will just, well, yeah, eventually. But she's also the one that said we don't have inflation. And inflation has gone nothing but, it's just scorching now from where it was when she said that. Gold prices rally. Gold is up $70 per ounce right now. You got one of those Silver Eagle coins? Take a look at it. That coin is up $70 today. This is the biggest breakout in gold that I have seen in a long time. Gold prices rallied to best finish in 17 months after briefly, they got to be above 2,000 right now. And last time I looked, silver was up $1.66 per ounce. So finally, all those gold commercials we've sat through for the last 10 years, Barry, with gold going nowhere. Well, we all knew it would someday. Gold is at 2,068 right now. We all knew it would someday. And gold was a terrible investment during the 10-year bull market, the 12-year, 13-year bull market, which seems to be finally grinding to a halt here. And the money is going into commodities. It's going into oil. It's going into coal. And now it's starting to flow heavily into gold. Now, usually gold does well when the dollar starts to decline. But the dollar recently has been breaking out also because of the breakdown of the ruble. Look at the chart of UUP, which is the U.S. dollar. It's exploding. It's exploding to the upside, and the dollar is exploding to the upside also. So if the dollar were ever to turn around and start going back down, gold would go even higher. I would say gold, and we're positioned there for the first time in many, many years. We started doing that a couple weeks, two, 3 weeks ago. There's that Cheniere story, LNG capacity sold out through 2040s. Now, here's your big problem. Europe takes a step towards energy security. I don't know what that step would be, but Russia is threatening their supplies. You know, I started worrying when they started talking about sending fighter jets to Poland. I thought, you know, I'm thinking that could be pushing the envelope a little too much. And it seems to me like Russia's striking back with, well, we'll just cut off your oil, your natural gas supply, which you're dependent upon there. So
yeah,
anyway,
the reshaping of that's what's driving kind of the reshaping of that energy policy, right, is what's driving some of these alternative energy stocks today. Was reading, you know, basically if that capacity is cut off, right, what steps do does Europe have to take, right? And, you know, part of that is speeding up wind, you know, investment, speeding up other alternative forms of energy, certainly using coal longer, right? Potentially, nuclear is kind of back on the table. So,
well, France is going nuclear. France is going nuclear. Germany continues to decommission their nuclear power plants. John Kerry is calling for, he says, U.S. climate envoy John Kerry says natural gas is the key component of the energy transition. The question is, do you have that natural gas infrastructure in place right now where you could tell Russia, to keep their gas? No, you don't have that infrastructure in place right now. Europe has a massive energy crisis. All right, well, there's some stocks that are absolutely busting loose here today. When we come back, this is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Best gold nuggets now, best barrels of oil. Oil has backed off a little bit. It was up $10 per barrel. Now it's up just $7 per barrel as we're still waiting for Joe Biden to announce, President Biden to announce the Russian oil ban. I guess the big question will be where they'll go instead. My guess is Iran. I think he's going to announce a deal with Iran. That's just my guess. We'll see what happens there. Okay, there's some stocks here and ETFs, etc. Let's begin with a gold stock. This is one that we own in the Ultra Growth portfolio. Take a look at Gold Fields today. GFI. That is a South African company engaged in the exploration, extraction of gold in South Africa, Ghana, Australia, and Peru. It has a relative strength of 98 and a P.E. ratio of 16. So there you have that combination that we've been kind of focused on since the beginning of the year. High relative strength, meaning it's doing better than the vast majority of stocks out there. Well, better than 98% of the stocks in this case, and low P.E. ratio, because we are in a rising interest rate environment and an inflationary environment, which punishes high P.E. stocks. And you're seeing that in the NASDAQ, which is now below 13,000. It was at 16,000. It's now down over 20%, moves it into bear territory. And I'm seeing some sell-offs like I saw in the year 2000. And I'm going to give you an example. How overpriced was Shopify back in, just 3 months ago, Barry? You go to November, 4 months ago, Shopify was at $1,763 per share. Today it's at $537 per share. It's lost $1,200. That's about a 65% drop in Shop, S-H-O-P, which we owned at one time, a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. It was a great name for us. I mean, it looks like there was literally a 3-for-1 split on the stock. Unfortunately, that did not happen.
You got the lower price, but you didn't get the shares. Right. You're still owning the same amount of shares at less than one-third of the price it was 4 months ago. Now, here's the scary thing. The P.E. is still 87. 87. And, of course, there was a lot of talk of Shopify being the next Amazon. And it was in the right place at the right time, especially when the COVID hit and the shop from home and work from home and all of that. This thing's hitting another low today. The relative strength is 7. So here we're going to take a look at just the opposite side of the coin. 93% of the stocks out there are doing better than Shopify, and it still has a P.E. ratio of 87.
Yeah, and the forward P.E. ratio is 158. So that's based off of analyst forward analyst expectations in terms of earnings. So that's it's still a rich valuation. I mean, they're growing, and I mean they grow their earnings at, you know, 31%, 49% a year expected to, but you know, their year-over-year earnings expectations this year, I believe, are minus 44%, and that's because they, had so much of their business come forward, right, during COVID. So.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to mention a stock that I made a lot of money in during the last oil boom like we're seeing today. The reason I bring this up because it's based out of Europe. It's a Dutch company called Core Laboratories. The symbol is CLB. This is no small player. This is a big player in the oil and gas. They're the ones that go do the equipment, providing their reservoirs, production enhancement, reservoir management services, etc. If Europe's going to get serious about, fortifying their supplies to energy, I would think Core Labs would play a big part there. It's just starting to take off there. Today it's up 10.8%. It has a relative strength of 81. The forward PE is about 22. It's a little rich, but it's always traded at a pretty rich PE and forward PE level. CLB is starting to really take off there. And then just one other one going in a completely different direction here. The solar stocks are taking off. Enphase is usually the best solar stock.
That one's going there off it goes. The chart today.
Yep. It's starting to move. It's up 11%. Enphase develops. There's another problem with solar, though, right now, and that is the supply chain. They design, develop, and sell home energy solutions for the solar voltaic industry. They are headquartered in the Silicon Valley. They have some Chinese connections, which is a little scary. If you want to go a different direction, Canadian Solar, which we've owned in the past, which is CSIQ. But still, a lot of these companies are dependent on supply chain coming out of China. That's my biggest knock on the solar stocks right now. But they're just looking for energy, even a Snicker bar, you know, whatever it takes right now to keep these economies going. I crossed over the Ravenal Bridge yesterday. I saw a cruise ship in port. I saw three huge China freighters. I saw fishermen in their boats, bumper-to-bumper traffic on the bridge. Look at how much oil is consumed. The economy is not going to flip to electric cars, wind and solar overnight. It's going to take a long time. And now we got a real mess on our hands with this Ukraine-Russia situation. Well, you know what? There's ways to make money from it. If you're interested, you could reach us at 855-611-BEST. We can't guarantee anything, but we've been in the right places since pretty much the beginning of the year. We continue to be inverse, the high-tech, high-PE. We continue to be long the commodity, gold, oil, and other areas of the market. Fertilizer, which is pulling back a little bit today. I have to look at some of those stocks because we have some big profits in them. Well, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. I take a look at the technical charts from last week that I put out in the newsletter. Some of them will make the hair on your neck stand up. 855-611-BEST or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.